Hey everyone, and welcome back to New Every Day. My name is Carrie.
And my name's Jen. And on today's show, we're in part two of A Man Named Phil. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is New Every Day with Jen Wagger and Carrie Webb.
Hello, welcome back to New Every Day. We are in part two of A Man Named Phil. And last week we talked about Philip, who was chosen after Jesus Christ had been resurrected and ascended into heaven. And he was chosen, as well as Stephen, to be a minister to the poor so that the apostles could be freed up to then teach and preach.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So where are we at now?
Where are we at now? We are in Acts chapter 8, verse 9. And here we go.
Okay.
Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed. So we're in the city of Samaria, and all the people of and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is the divine power known as the Great Power." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hand, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me." When they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Yes.
You know, last week we talked about how when Philip went to Samaria, he preached the word and then also did many miraculous signs. Mm-hmm. And people were drawn to the Lord in part because of the miraculous signs that God was doing something through Philip that they had never seen or encountered before.
I know.
And here, Simon, the sorcerer.
Yes.
It sounds like a bad guy from a Disney movie, right?
I know.
"Hi, I'm Simon the sorcerer." Anyways. He kind of takes it totally out of context. He is seeing the miracle without realizing the cause of the miraculous, who is the person of Jesus Christ through Philip. So it's like he's worshiping the actual miracles themselves and not encountering the God behind them.
Well, I think, you know, as I read this, it says that he himself believed and was baptized, and he followed, and listen to this, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. So you're right, he was totally captivated by the power of the Holy Spirit moving through Philip. And he was more captivated by what Philip was doing than through the power behind it, which was the Holy Spirit.
And so
when Peter and John are sent from Jerusalem to check this out, that, you know, they lay hands on and they receive the Holy Spirit, and Simon sees this and he's like, "Whoa, I want that too.
This could be a moneymaker for me."
He didn't want the Spirit. He didn't want the Spirit.
He wanted the power.
He wanted the power. Huh. I just feel such a huge gut check right now, because I have met people who move in the power of God, and they're almost worshipped for what they can do. And literally, if you go hear this man, he'll prophesy over you. And I'm like, and now I'm sitting here, and I feel the same way as I did then. Like, am I going to hear this man, or am I going because I want to hear what God has to say? And there's such a fine line there. Am I going to worship this man and what he can do and what he can say? Mm-hmm. Or am I going to meet with God to say, what do you have for me? Mm-hmm. Like, there's such a... Because we worship our pastors. We worship leaders. We worship people with the gifts of prophecy. And we just... Did you hear what this person said? Did you hear... And it's like, instead of saying, did you hear what God said through that person?
Yeah.
Right? Oh, no. We would say, they are so... like. Wow, the power of God, like, they just moves through them, and we almost worship them.
Like, I want to be like them.
Yes.
But I think that one of the signs of a false teacher is that they don't redirect the accolades to the Lord and, like, give the credit where the credit is due. Mm-hmm. But the humility that some teachers and preachers embody is reflective of the character of Christ. And so that's a more clear sign that, you know, what they're doing is through God, and then they point you in that direction. So the miracles, the healing, the wisdom and the teaching that they provide then turn people down a path to knowing Christ for the first time or knowing him more intimately.
And I think, like, Philip was there. Philip was all over, like, because he was preaching the gospel, and there were signs and wonders that accompanied him because he was right with Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And so people came to know him because of what he was speaking and the signs and wonders. So Philip isn't the problem. It's Simon who sees that, and instead of seeing Jesus, he sees the power, he sees the wonders, and he misses out on the who. Mm. The who is doing this part. And it's like, I want to believe so I can do those powers. I can have those powers. Now I want to believe because I want to be close to Jesus. So,
yeah.
You want to think about that?
I want to think about that. You go ahead and dismiss them for our break.
She has dismissed you. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Whether you shop on ThinkGeek, GearBest, B&H Photo Video, eBay, or Amazon, or even if you want a free trial of Audible, you'll find the best deals and support the shows we produce by simply visiting the shopping sites you already frequent by using the links on our website. Visit category5.tv/partners for the full and ever-growing list and help us create more free content like this show. Thank you for shopping with our partners, and thank you for watching.
Hello again. Welcome back. Thank you for staying with us on New Every Day. Go check out our website, neweveryday.tv. You can go to our partners page and see all the wonderful businesses and organizations who are supporting us to make this show possible, because we sure are grateful to have the opportunity to talk about God and to talk about life and real life stuff with you on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. It's really just been an amazing piece of our lives, eh, Jen?
Yes.
I know. So we're going to just dive right back in. We're still talking about Philip. And Jen, where did we leave off there?
Well, we left off with Simon the sorcerer and asking the question, do we worship the messenger or do we worship the message?
Okay.
Yes.
I knew what I was going to say. Simon the sorcerer himself believed and was baptized.
Yes.
What I appreciate about that is that the Philip and the other people who were preaching and teaching, mm-hmm. they didn't, like, have them fill out a survey. They didn't, you know, there was no vetting process. If they said they believed, and they baptized them, and it was the Holy Spirit and God who sifted through what his true motives of the heart were.
Right.
And Proverbs does say that the Lord looks at the motives of the heart and identifies that. And then when Peter and, was it John who came down?
Mm-hmm.
Then they were able to say to Simon, like, you're not in this for the right thing. May your money perish with you. This is not what this is about. And I really see that, Jen, as the mercy and grace of God. Because we don't hear about what happens to Simon after. He's just like, oh, no. Pray to the Lord for me that none of the things which you've spoken may come upon me.
You know what I find interesting about that passage right there, though, is he doesn't repent.
No, he doesn't repent. But that is the opportunity to repent. And we don't know if he does or not.
You're right.
And I'm just saying that if someone's in the wrong and he said he's believed, then it's an opportunity for the church, the community of believers, to say, hey, wait a sec. This isn't lining up with what you said you believed. And it's an opportunity from God in his mercy that he has the opportunity now to repent. You know?
Yes. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying.
But?
I feel like if he had repented, they would have written it in. And maybe the prayer where it says, pray to the Lord for me. So that not, like basically saying, oh no, that those things won't happen to me.
I don't want the consequences.
But it doesn't actually say, wow, I was wrong. And you're right. This is where the body of Christ comes alongside to say, okay, let's just, because you did believe and you were baptized. You're baptized in the name of Jesus. Okay, some of your motives are wrong here.
Yeah.
So let's just talk through that. And that's part of, you're right. I don't think they wrote him off.
Hmm.
The passage doesn't give that inclination that they wrote him off.
Yeah.
But it does give the idea of, you're right, maybe there is room for more teaching and mentoring to come alongside Simon to say, okay, buddy.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this. Let's talk about who the Holy Spirit is. Let's talk about Jesus. My guess is that Simon was a Samaritan, so there was an understanding of the coming Messiah. Not quite the same as the Jews, who had a deep understanding of the coming Messiah. But going back to the Samaritan woman, it says, well, no, you Jews preach that, you know. And so there's an idea that they understand somewhat of the Jewish faith. But here's, you're right, an opportunity to come alongside and mentor him. And what's cool is there are people in our church who will just come alongside other people and track with them for a while and mentor them and speak truth into their life.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe this is, you know, one of those chapters that sort of brings that to the forefront. Like, wow, it's so easy to write Simon off.
Hmm.
But we need someone to come alongside Simon.
Right. And that's what, the fact that he believed and was baptized was like, okay, you're in the posse now. Like, you're in the club.
Yeah.
And sometimes in churches, there are people who, what? You said you believe, but something ain't right here.
Something ain't right here.
And I think that just shows to go, yeah, that those kind of people who have that skewed understanding do exist within the church. But if the church is healthy and has people like the Peters and the Johns and the Phillips,
yes,
who can readily identify if people aren't actually following what the Bible says, mm-hmm. it becomes a more healthy church body because they're given the opportunity to repent and change their ways. And God in his mercy, I know I've seen this happen in the church, Jen. People were kind of like going astray and like doing things that were going to be harmful. And someone very lovingly came and said, this is not God's best for you. God loves you. This is not what he intends. This is wrong.
And that is what Peter and John do. Like they speak directly to the truth and they don't mince words.
Yeah, like they, that's true.
They're very clear. And it is a challenge. You're right. How do you speak the truth and then come alongside?
Yeah.
Now, like Peter and John and Philip were evangelists and apostles at this point. So their job was not to come alongside and walk with people. We don't see that at all. Often Peter's going off on his own and doing whatever. But that's where like the Barnabas comes in. The Silas comes in. People in your life who come in alongside you and say, let's do some life together. And I know very often that's what Carrie and I do. Like, okay, you're doing this. Have you thought about this? Or I'm doing this. What are your thoughts about this? And just like iron sharpening iron and being the, okay, I'm going to speak some truth into your life, right? And just that mentor or help that we often need in our Christian life to help straighten out some of the things that we think or some of the behaviors. Often we'll confess to each other going, I was thinking this, or I was doing this, and this is wrong. And then we take that as an opportunity just to come alongside and encourage. And so that might be where you're at right now. Maybe you're a Simon, and you've been looking at the messenger instead of the message. Or maybe you're a Peter and a James, or a Peter and a John, who actually you see something and you know it's wrong. Maybe you need to speak truth into that life.
Mm.
Or maybe you're a Barnabas that isn't mentioned in this, who needs to come alongside someone who's young in their faith. Mm. And you know, like, God is tapping your heart right now saying, hey, I want you to go meet with Sam, or hey, Sarah called you and I want you to answer that phone call, or so-and-so texted you, or you got this email, or you see that young family who just needs a surrogate mom and dad to come alongside. Like, whatever that is, maybe you're that family that comes alongside to strengthen, encourage, and build up in the Lord.
Mm.
So we're going to leave that with you. Who do you identify with in this passage?
Question.
You know? So let's pray.
Yeah.
Dear Lord Jesus, a man named Phil started something in Samaria, and it didn't, it might not have went the way he thought it was going to go. Simon came along and got things mixed up. And so, Father, thank you that Philip still spoke the message. Thank you for the boldness of Peter and John. And we thank you for Simon, Lord, that he willfully chose to serve you and was baptized. And Lord, we pray for those that might need to come alongside someone like a Simon, who's just, their theology is off, or they're not living the life that they profess to believe. And so you're touching their heart right now. You're touching their heart right now. So, Father, we leave this in your hands. Touch our hearts. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for praying with us. Thank you. Hey, if you're praying for us too. I almost said thank you for praying for us. But we appreciate you praying for us because we're so glad for this opportunity.
Oh, yes.
So anyways, have a great week. We're going to see you back here next week, same time, same place, and we'll open the Bible again. Have a great week.
See you then.
Bye-bye. Cheers, sir. Cheers.
Catch a new episode of New Every Day every Friday morning at neweveryday.tv. We're also on Kodi, Roku, Plex, YouTube, and Facebook. Or if you're in Southern California, tune in every Sunday morning at 6:30 Pacific on Channel 33 Television for the High Desert.